And welcome to the Luminaries In and Out of Sect podcast, a show about the sun and how astrologers embody and relate to it. My name is SP Hall, and I'm your host. In today's episode on the Pisces sun as the sect light, I speak with the astrologer Gray Crawford. I'm really excited to be dropping this next episode of my new sun series, which will continue for the next year. For new listeners, please go back and listen to the moon series that I did last year, where I spoke to different astrologers about their moon sign. I hope everyone has had a good Pisces season. I apologize for the delay in releasing this episode. I've had a lot going on in my life, a myriad of things, from the good, the bad, to the ugly, honestly. It's felt like a bit of a tough one with the Saturn-Mercury Kazemi and with Mercury in Pisces in general. Late last night in my time zone, Mercury left the sign of its fall Pisces and moved into Aries. So hopefully the mercurial things in our life will get moving again with greater vigor and energy, if not necessarily greater clarity. I think the jury might still be out on that, but we shall see. As always, if you enjoy the work that I'm doing, please contribute to the podcast sustainability by becoming a supporting member or offering a one-time donation on my website. For those of you interested in an astrological reading, I've closed my books, but I highly suggest going through this and past episodes to find a practitioner with whom you resonate. I hope you enjoy the conversation. All right, Gray Crawford, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. It's great to have you. How are you doing today?
Great. Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to talk about Pisces sun.
Yeah, I'm really excited as well. I generally start the conversations by asking how my guest has been faring with the recent astro weather. Before we hit record, we were talking about the Mercury Saturn Sun Kazemi. So I'm just curious, how has that been for you personally, if you'd care to share, or, you know, any other astrology that's going on for you recently?
Yeah, it's big for me. I'm obviously a Pisces sun, and my sun's actually applying to conjoin Jupiter in Pisces. But relative to what you're asking about, I also have is that my chart? Okay.
Yeah, I just pulled
up
your
chart. Yeah, you can see that I have Mercury in Pisces with the midheaven in Pisces at the same degree. It's kind of around the Fomalhaut star that's not in the Pisces constellation, but another fish. So it's my 10th house. You know, Pisces is really big for me. And I've been having a Neptune sun transit in general. But that triple conjunction wasn't like exactly in my midheaven, but I've been going through, you know, a period of Saturn going over my midheaven. So yeah, that sun Saturn Mercury conjunction was pretty big for me being there. I would just say in general, what this period's been about is, I've been an astrologer for a long time, but I was always working other jobs. I've been a teacher before, especially in community college, and I was a social worker for a long time. And this year I've just transitioned into going full-time astrology. And so that's been very much what this these combinations of Pisces and my 10th house transits have been about, like really like kind of just laying down the foundations of that. And I saw the Dune 2 movie. I think we'll talk about that today, is with the Pisces themes kind of right around that triple conjunction. And that was some nice just fantasy enjoyment of that transit. Amazing. I've also been teaching a course on zodiacal releasing for Kepler College. That's kind of gone with this transit for me. And that's been a great experience too.
Nice. Yeah, so like myself, you have Saturn in the second whole sign house, which is typically associated with money, and you're having this Saturn in Pisces transit to your 10th whole sign house now. So it sounds like it's been with that transiting trine to the natal Saturn, it sounds like it's been pretty positive for you, even though Saturn can sometimes be associated with slowness and challenge.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and my personal Saturn is that because, I like my Saturn, but it had recently stationed direct, like in the week before I was born. So it's got that sort of Saturn fastest conditioning of having recently stationed direct. So it wasn't really, it was moving forward when I was born, but barely. So I've got like a stationing Saturn quality, and something about that probably goes with, it's taken me a while to just go full on with astrology practice. But yeah, it's the coming back around across my midheaven and that shrine has definitely gone with me going forward with getting that established now for myself.
Yeah. And so with the fastest condition with Saturn, do you see just a lot of Saturn stuff in your life? Has that been like a constant theme for you in your life? Cause I'm curious, cause I have a different, I have like actually a bunch of phasis conditions in my chart, but I have Saturn as well. And I'm just curious how that shows up for you.
Yeah. You know, I've had the thing of like, you know, with making money and stuff, it's definitely been a, I think what a lot of people have with Saturn in a second, you know, I think it's something that's taken time to make more and more money, but it's like kind of gotten better and better over time in that kind of way. Yeah, my Saturn is sort of more important than it might appear at first. It's in it pretty fairly close antitia with my ascendant, so it actually comes in pretty strong that way. And in some quadrant systems like Placidus, you know, it's technically in the first house, but it's also, if you do like a 5-degree rule, you'd still say it was like second house because it's pretty close to the cusp. But I think when I first learned astrology and I saw that, I didn't know about that rule, I very much did think I had a first house Saturn. And then learning later about Antitia, that made a lot more sense to me with my my Saturn there. There's definitely a Saturn, some Saturn themes that go on with me for sure. I everybody has Saturn issues they work through. I guess in terms of like having Saturn Cancer, I know some people don't think that's a good placement. I don't feel like I have like this horrible Saturn or anything like that. And it could be one of the things too. I know my Vedic chart, because the way things switch around, like Saturn's actually a good planet for me in a lot of ways, because I'm Taurus rising and it's in Gemini. And so maybe that's one of those things, the way the double layering of astrology kind of works.
Yeah.
Even though I don't use that system myself in my practice.
Yeah. And I just want to give a shout out to your NORWAC talk from last year, which is about the concept, quote unquote, detriment. Where a planet is in the sign opposite its domicile. And so you have a whole kind of lecture, I think 2-hour lecture, something hour, 2-hour lecture that you did on that. So I just want to point people in the direction of that if they're interested in that concept.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a really interesting, I mean, I definitely think it's very meaningful to have the planet in the opposite sign, but yeah, I just sometimes think with essential dignity, I think it's important. And everybody's different the way they prioritize things. But sometimes the way I hear people, I think there's just a lot of nuance to bring into like the whole picture of how it's fitting into the chart with its phase and everything else. Instead of making very black and white statements that it's always going to mean something just because it's in this one sign.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Great. So yeah, can you give us a little bit more of an introduction to yourself and your practice, even though you just give us quite the introduction there?
I'm an astrologer. One of my main focuses is doing needle consultations, and I really enjoy working with people just on needle chart readings. But then I also do horary also. I've written on my website blog for a long time. That's kind of how I first really sort of established myself, as doing a lot of just blog writing about astrology and getting known that way. But then for a number of years now, I've spoken at conferences like NORWAC and other conferences and events like that. As I mentioned, I'm teaching a zodiacal releasing course for Kepler College right now. And I do have a background of, you know, I grew up more 20th century astrology. I've done a lot of different types of astrology. I have gone through really primarily focused more on the Hellenistic tradition. And at this point, really, if I have to name one teacher, my main teacher is Demetra George.
Mm-hmm.
And really sort of the full extent of Demetra and the mythic background she has, the Rudyarian, Dean Rudyar influence she has. Used to do a lot more with asteroids when I was younger, and was really into her book when I was a younger astrologer. And I've learned from her with Hellenistic astrology. The way I'm teaching zodiac releasing is more the way I learned it from her in person, which has a little bit more emphasis on using the rulers of the sign, the lords of the signs,
mm-hmm.
as the time lords for the periods, and bringing a lot more of that kind of nuance and complexity and stuff.
Cool.
And I have a Patreon also, if people want to check that out. And one of the things I do there is there's a higher level where there is like a monthly class, and that's for a while and has now been on fixed stars, where each month we do a fixed star and talk about the fixed star from different cultural perspectives and different mythological perspectives and prans and projected degrees and natal charts and how to magical histories and practices around the star as well.
Mm-hmm. And do you that Patreon with your partner? Because
often so, yeah. My partner Jeannie is often doing them with me.
Mm-hmm.
There's some months where I do them without her, but she is often has been part of many of them, and definitely on the past recordings there's a bunch that she's on doing them with me.
I haven't seen many of them, but the one I did see was you and your partner talking about a fixed star, and I just looked at your chart the first time before we started. We got into the Zoom and I was like, oh, ruler of the 7th and the 10th. Okay. Very, very well dignified. So it's, you know, those little astrology things that jump out to you.
Yeah. Yeah. My Pisces, Jupiter is actually 29 degrees and 59 minutes of Pisces, which mm-hmm. is what I always thought it was. And then the Kepler program runs it at 00. And I remember coming across that and it threw me into a momentary curiosity about which one is it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was open to looking at that, but it's I think definitely Pisces, and it does have that 10th house thing in my chart. But maybe we'll talk about this, but yeah, even though I do have a Pisces Jupiter, I mean, it's very much like almost a zero Aries point.
Mm-hmm. It's very anoretic,
it's
as
just,
people would say.
It's like right on the right about to hit zero Aries when
mm-hmm.
I was born.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very end of Pisces, and actually the end of the Jupiter cycle too, because the sun's coming in to conjoin it when I'm born. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
yeah, it's a
cool.
I like my, I think it's an interesting Jupiter in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like very tied in with your sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like it's like a new Jupiter in a lot of ways, like the changing of the sign right as you're born, and also conjoining the sun and starting that new kind of chapter.
Yeah, although technically a very old Jupiter, it's like the end of the cycle. But yeah, at the same time, yeah, I totally know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm like, it got me thinking about your moon phase too. We also have share first house moons, but opposing minds in Sag. But I have that very old moon that's waning, and you have this kind of this newer, not new moon, but you have a kind of
crescent moon. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So that's very cool. All right, yeah. I'm curious when you. I also want to give a shout out to the last episode we did, because my ears kind of perked up when you talked about planetary phase and kind of delineating the condition of a planet, because we talked a lot about that when I was doing my moon series, and you came on and talked about the other Norwalk lecture that you did last year about moon element and phase. And so I just want to give a shout out to that, because I think it can give a big window into just like good ways to think about planetary delineation, like thinking about how to delineate the moon and its sign and how it relates to the sun. And you can kind of apply that to other planets as well, in terms of distance from the sun and how that relates to speed and
mm-hmm.
how that intersects with the element of the sign. But all of that's to say, I'm just curious, when you got into astrology, I know that you talked about it a little bit on that that episode, but I'm curious. I'm curious, as a day sect Pisces sun, if you always have kind of identified as a Pisces, maybe rather than a Gemini, or how that, you know, with the Gemini moon, but you also have the Gemini rising. I'm curious how the kind of, you know, how you felt about astrology before you became an astrologer, you know, what that journey was like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you did show my chart. So if people were looking at that chart, you can see that I'm very Pisces, being sun conjunct Jupiter in Pisces, plus a Pisces midheaven. My ascendant is in Gemini, my moon's in Gemini, and my Mercury is also in Pisces, you know, right on my midheaven. And there's nothing really messing up the, I mean, there's no like real, I don't feel like there's anything in my chart that's like making real something like, you know, opposing the Pisces or, you know, it's pretty Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
So
unimpeded,
yeah, I mean,
Pisces. Yeah.
Yeah. I would often relate to, descriptions of Pisces, not all of them, because of course there's stereotypical caricatures of the signs that are out there that you'll see with some of that sun sign stuff. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff I would come across about Pisces, I would be able to identify with. And, you know, I'm born in 1975, so there's certainly like a lot of astrology happening, but I didn't grow up anywhere where that was like around me or really accessing that, except seeing stuff in newspapers. But as I got older, you know, there used to be a lot more bookstores. I mean, there still are bookstores, but you used to be able to kind of go into bookstores and there'd be a bit of an astrology section. You could find some stuff, and not always like the greatest stuff, but just you could find stuff. And, you know, finding used bookstores, it was more stuff like that for a long time that I would come across when I was first coming across astrology. It wasn't like me, being on the internet, reading stuff. There were no, you know, podcasts, or I never met an astrologer or heard an astrologer speak until I was much older, way into my 20s. I mean, almost coming into like a Saturn return before, you know, in the 2000s, before I even met anybody that was an astrologer. But yeah, I mean, I would, definitely. And even with some of the relationship synastry stuff, my first girlfriend, real serious girlfriend, was a Taurus with a, her sun conjunct Venus and Taurus. So I've always thought like, that's an interesting thing when I'd be like, oh yeah, we'd read stuff and be like, oh yeah, that Pisces sun, Taurus Pisces relationship, there would be, not like it was all accurate, but it wasn't like way off, you know what I mean? And I got, even there was like this big birthday book that would, it's still probably out there that people see it, and it would divide the signs up into different decans, but then it would also throw in a cusp. But I had that book, eventually bought it for myself, because I'd often look at it in the bookstore, and it had lots of celebrity charts, and it was more about the day. But even that, and seeing the signs across it, and it started making me even think about the different aspects of a sign. And yeah, I did. It was enough that it made me think there might be something to astrology. But it wasn't, it was just kind of interesting to me. And I didn't really, it wasn't until somebody really asked me about my chart. And I didn't know that there was such a thing as an astrology chart. And then that's what kind of really clicked in my mind. Like, oh, that's what, you know, makes total sense. There must be, it kind of, it made sense to me actually, which I guess is a Pisces thing perhaps, as opposed to people that are automatically, you know, skeptical and kind of dragged into astrology. It was just like, it sort of like, there's something about it actually just kind of did make sense to me that you would conceivably, I didn't really understand though, the full extent of that though, of how much it would make sense or all the layers to it at that time, but enough to get me wanting to really learn about like, what is a chart and yeah, then getting on like astro.com and using the internet in that way to start learning about it. And yeah, just it obviously never ends. That was like over 25, 26 years ago now, like 98, 99, kind of 1990, that kind of time period. Yeah. When I first was getting into it more, like the whole like casting a chart. But yeah, like even like Linda Goodman's sun signs, I don't think probably anybody looks at that anymore, but I remember reading that and being like, okay, I can, some of this Pisces stuff, I can see that. Yeah. About me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm curious now, what do you think the sun means astrologically? Like, and, you know, it's funny that you bring up Linda Goodman because sun sign astrology is like obviously such a mainstream thing. So much so that I think more serious students can maybe downplay the importance of the sun. But we were, you know, talking before we started recording about how central the sun is and how important the sun is. And so I'm just curious to hear some of your thoughts about like what the sun means to you in your practice today.
Yeah, it really is something where I think, even though it sounds like for good reason, people could say there's been an overemphasis on the sun in astrology, I think as far as getting the more complexity and depth of the sun, there's definitely could be more work on reclaiming that. Because, yeah, I mean, the sun's obviously, we're in a solar system around the sun. It's a source of everything and life. It's this great star that we're orbiting around that all everything in astrology is based upon, you know, all the cycles we're looking at. And I am someone that's also born in the day. So when you're looking at things through a sect standpoint, you know, it is my sect light. But I guess, you know, because I, like a lot of people, you know, there's a lot I do look at in a chart. It's not like the first thing I really ever tend to necessarily look at right away is just like where somebody's sun is and base everything upon that. But I do think it's not something to like discount, or just because of the, if you think a lot of the sun sign astrology is kind of stereotypical and superficial and that kind of thing, it's you know, it's just such this primal light sense of like nous, that like noetic realm, illuminated light. I don't know how to best words to use to describe that. But I guess as I've, one of my draws into getting more into like Hellenistic astrology and that whole blending of like Egyptian and Mesopotamian and Greek culture into the system is there is a lot of, you know, tradition there about nous and like the Agathos daimon and this like Hermetic thought and, you know, that just that sun as this life force and source of illumination and divination.
Right. And so
that,
for folks
I think
who
is really, really, really important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For folks who might not know, how would you define nous and how would you define agathos daimon? Like, what do those terms mean?
Yeah, like nous is, well, just the agathos daimon in terms of, that's probably too much of a topic to get into, but there is the idea of daimons, right, as being these intermediary spirits of land. There's also ideas of like a guardian type of daimon that's mm-hmm. sort of connected to you, as like a very connected to your destiny and like the sense of like a soul guide. And there's a cult figure of the agathos daimon that definitely has some solar connections, and we see that with a lot of daimon, often translated as a lot of spirit or other versions of that, which is basically it's the lot of the sun. It's another manifestation of the sun in your chart when you're looking at that. And so nous gets into sort of that illuminated, I guess you keep seeing where illuminated light, celestial light, and this other type of intelligence. I think it's hard to, I even saying nous, I realize if you don't know the background of that, mm-hmm. it's hard to, because it's even typically not translated, because I don't think there's a good translation of it. So a lot of people just prefer to leave it as nous because we kind of lack the word for it.
Yeah,
in our culture and language, but
it's interesting.
It's sort of like what's at the reason, you know, it's sort of like the way the sun comes into like oracular, divinatory practices. It's just sort of that and the way the sun animates everything and brings everything to life. We could think about it. It's like an almost another form of like revelation and epiphany. I mean, we talk about the moon as being revelatory, but it's the way the moon's reflecting that light and bringing it down to us. I mean, that's mm-hmm. the sun is that light that every planet in the sky is reflecting back to us. All the sun, you know, it is the source of that light. We could say it's very much connected to like what's animating us and like our, mm-hmm. on our souls and that kind of thing. And that's why the sun will get brought into like your sort of like the soul purpose you have in a way, and an intentionality and, you know, what might bring about your reputation in the world, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. Right. In addition to there's that more like oracular side to the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to say, in terms of, you know, talking about words and kind of meaning, there's so many words in like the study of philosophy, for example, of which nous is like, and I think astrology is a part. And I'm reminded of the term eudaimonia, which in Greek thought, you know, philosophers today, or when I was studying philosophy in school, kind of generally can be translated as like happiness, with the understanding that that's not quite what that word exactly means. It means more like contentment. But if you break down eudaimonia, eu means good, daimon, spirit, it's like a good spiritedness. And it does really kind of touch on the importance of the daimon and the intersection of fate and free will as like our lot and our daimon intersect in astrology, and thinking about happiness or contentment as this good spiritedness, I think reminds us of in the astrological context of like having a contact with that guardian angel or that accompanying spirit that we have. So that's an interesting thing that comes to mind in relation to how difficult it could be sometimes to translate words.
Totally. I agree with you.
Yeah. And so to kind of talk about the sign of Pisces now, I'm curious like what that place means to you and how considerations of myth, and by myth, I just mean story, like our human propensity towards mythos, towards like creating stories about things, whether that be literature or film or what have you, how that influences your understanding of that place. So yeah, I'm just curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things with Pisces that I always immediately think about is just water and the water element and the mutability, the double-bodiedness, and that quality of it, combined with also the uniqueness that it is the home of Jupiter, the exaltation of Venus. There is something unique about Pisces having the Jupiter and Venus as its two main ones. It's the only sign that does.
That has both benefics.
Both benefics.
So yeah. Dignified. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I think what's really fascinating about Pisces, especially in the context of your podcast and being, you know, I know part of this focus is I'm a Pisces sun born in the day. So it is my sect light, but from the standpoint of sect, you know, Pisces, we are children of night. You know, it's a night sign. Mm-hmm. It's this nocturnal, very inwardly directed, more slow, you know, with the watery and all the dissolution and interconnectivity and picking things up and synthesizing things and things kind of dissolving. Especially actually, I know in Abu Mashar's great introduction, when he's talking about like the elements and with the water elements, Pisces being the end, I would think it's interesting. There's a thing there about sort of like the corruption, like the end. There's like this sort of description of those ending signs being more about the ending of things and sort of corruption and dissolution. And I, with Pisces, I think about that in terms of a lot of the, dissolution, like I'm saying. And there's a, when we get into the mythos of Pisces, I think it very much does connect to night and the night journey of the sun. There is a thing with Pisces of being aware of sort of the more chaos of the world, of how things operate, mm-hmm. as well as the mystery of things. And there's, with Pisces, there's definitely this mystical side that comes in there, and this sort of diffusion that I know we can often be very confusing, I think, to people.
Mm.
And I think one of the things with Pisces, you know, even though we're talking about the tropical Pisces, although I'm am sun, Jupiter, either way you go about it, tropical or sidereal. So I'm a good guest for you in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the constellational image, you know, which I think we can still work with in a tropical zodiac as a symbolism, I think it is just so fascinating about Pisces, as well as the stories associated with that. But you know, that it's two fish that are really moving in different directions. They're moving. They're not, you know, they're in Menelaus's text. He talks about at one point, you know, look at the two fishes and the twins of Gemini. And he kind of points out how the arms of the twins are forever linked in mutual embrace. But the fish, you know, are facing in these opposite ways and have different courses. And when you read like some of the Eratosthenes, who's sort of a Library of Alexandria time period, those texts of like what was written down about the constellations and the stories, it's sort of described right away. You know, one fish is like the northern fish and it's pointed towards the Arctic pole. It's kind of like going up towards the pole, and the other one's kind of low along the equator and it's heading like west. But then there's like this ribbon of stars and there's like this celestial knot that's sort of binding them together. So there's something, there's this like contradiction, there's this paradox, there's these different sides of Pisces And that are, it's very much about, you know, it gets to a lot of the stuff about being human in a way, you know, being connected to spirit, or perhaps we're children of the stars, but we're here on the earth and we're incarnated in these bodies in this world of like suffering and great illusion. And there's something about Pisces that just goes right into that with all the symbolism. And I think with the sun, one of the things about that being a night sign, to me, Pisces is very much about all of mythology with that night journey of the sun, which I think usually a lot about the Egyptian thought and, you know, the sun going down at night and every night, you know, facing that danger and potential death and overwhelm of, you know, facing this like chaotic serpent. And having to then, and you know, there's guardians with the sun on that barge, and there's getting into like different stars, you know, potentially being part of that, but just that sort of nightly encounter with this sort of like chaos serpent or dragon. There's, and you know, so much mythology about the sun and the solar figures. They're the things that are typically get really interesting about those stories are usually the descent into the underworld and those figures being put through this initiation, and they're, you know, they have to be kind of like brought down into this like underworld, you know, nightly passage, and they, you know, they have to encounter the dragon or the serpent or this force of like chaos in some kind of way. There's something to me about Pisces and the sun in Pisces that's just really plugged into that. And the more you kind of, if you have Pisces in your life, and there's a lot more to say about that, but I think that's a good starting point to start orienting yourself to the sun in Pisces. You know, when we talk about the sun in astrology, we often will think about the sun as this great like commander, you know, making decisions, and it can illuminate something and be very clear cut. And Pisces can be like that, especially when we're really inspired and we know what we want to do. But a lot of Pisces, you know, we might seem to other people, I know that we might not seem like we're going too slow, or what are they doing? They're just kind of wandering around or going here, they're going there. But there's this real need to be able to connect into the depths, the mystery. There's so much that watery nature, and it picks up so much that's going on around it, that it does work out to be a very unique sun placement. I'll stop for there for now if you have
follow-up. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think about the sun as like the thing of consistency. You know, like it has this very consistent motion. It's generally in the same place in the zodiac. You know, it's March 3rd right now, and it'll be in the same place next March 3rd. You know, it's very consistent. It rules Leo, which is a fixed sign. And then Pisces is perhaps like the most mutable of the mutable signs. Like water is this element that is very difficult to contain. It's very changeable. It's like very hard to grasp. And then mutable water, perhaps all the more so. And I think about the mysteries typically associated with Pisces and how on Earth, the most mysterious thing is perhaps the ocean. And I think about like how the sun cannot penetrate to the depths of the ocean. You know, there's like places in the ocean that are so dark, they're so far away from the sun that the sun's light can't reach them. And, you know, I think about the sun in Pisces as kind of maybe like a submarine in the deep, you know, and that just that tiny little light that's shining. And I felt like that speaks in some ways to, or somehow to, that kind of descent myth that you speak about.
Oh, definitely. I mean, one of my favorite mythic figures, he's kind of also at the same time pretty nebulous, we don't have a ton of stories, is Oceanus, who's sort of the great encircling, in a way, more like a river. Mm. But Oceanus is that place where the sun is always, it's descending into Oceanus, you know, like every single night as part of that, you know, initiating that night journey. And yeah, I mean, it makes me think even with, you know, one story I thought of connected to, well, with myth, I actually always have had a very strong connection of Dionysus with Pisces. I've always identified a lot with Dionysus. About actually, I think it was a decade ago now, on my blog, I wrote a thing out about the Dionysus asteroid. Mm. And in that article also kind of went a lot into how I really saw Dionysus as this great mythic figure to represent Pisces, including all the contradictory natures of Pisces. But, you know, Dionysus was also at the, was said to sort of govern, at least Plutarch says that Dionysus in the winter months at the Oracle of Delphi, you know, was there. But we typically eventually associate the Oracle of Delphi a lot with Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even said that, you know, Apollo came and sort of displaced a chaotic serpent who was at Delphi. But I always look, one of the things I think that's really interesting about that is when Apollo is sort of convincing these priests from Crete to come to the oracle. I think it's in the Homeric hymn to Apollo, at least, that he takes this form of a dolphin, which is probably a lot to do with the Delphinus dolphin constellation. There's a lot of thought about it, Telaic Orise being connected to Delphi. But just that idea of the sun god turning into this dolphin, you know, out of the sea, as being sort of connected into some of the mythology around the oracle, I just think is really interesting in connection to Pisces. But yeah, there's definitely that sense of mystery is really important. In fact, when we were talking earlier and I was mentioning to you that how I just seen the Dune movie, and I was thinking a lot about Dune just being connected to Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
In the you know, in the first movie, they, for those of us that have seen that, there's a really, I think, beautifully shot scene where the Paul Atreides character, sort of right towards the end of the movie, right before he's about to go into this really initiatory fight that kind of puts him on more where he's going with his story and this initiation. There's this great sandworm that appears, which is very much has this like chaos serpent quality, and the way the film even shows it sort of has this huge black void, and it comes up and it's almost, it's just like facing him, and there's like this moment, it's almost like this, like they're kind of facing each other, and just something about that image is very Piscean to me, in the way that sequence is sort of initiating him into where he's going in the story. And in that movie, they quote this from the book. And I actually I wrote this down from the book. At one point they worked into the movie. And it's something that I think really connects to this idea of Pisces. And the quote is that, the mystery of life isn't a problem to solve, but a reality to experience. That is like, so, I think important to Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes on. This is actually a dialogue in the book, but a process cannot be solved. Just reading, the mystery of life isn't a problem to solve, but a reality to experience. A process cannot be understood by stopping it. understanding must move with the flow of the process, must join it and flow with it. There's often this, like, people see Pisces as being very, I know, indecisive at times. And it's true, Pisces, we can kind of sit back and really be taking a lot in. But there is, you're right, an extreme mutability. So when you're combining the mutability with the water signs, it really does set us apart from Cancers and Scorpios. I have always had lots of friends that are Cancers and Scorpios, and you know them really well. Your partner's a Scorpio. And I know sometimes we all connect in a way that's often very direct and sort of hard to describe. But I know the water signs, we all kind of see things about the other water signs, and we all kind of in our own way have our own issues with the way the other ones kind of go about things. But I know, I feel like that's one of the things about Pisces that can be confusing or frustrating for people. But there is a difference where, like, Cancers, you know, they're cardinal, it's immune, it's quick. They're going to tend to see something, be aware of something, make something happen, maybe manipulate something. Maybe, you know, they're going to use something to their advantage. You know, Scorpio is taking everything in. They'll strategize, have these long-term plans. Pisces really seeing everything else and picking up all the same things, and definitely will have that, this long vision and dream. But I feel there's something about that connecting to the mystery, that there's less of a thing with Pisces. I think what makes it challenging for the Pisces sun is, and the reason I'm trying to bring up this idea of chaos and mystery is, and being aware of the suffering of the world, I don't know, we're described as being the biggest flakes and illusions, loss and illusion. It's always find that kind of ironic, just because, I mean, everybody's trapped in a massive illusion. Everybody's in an illusion. This world is like full of illusion, you know, more so than ever right now.
Yeah.
And Pisces are actually often picking up a whole other kind of realm of things. Sometimes, yeah, they can be kind of checked out, and but I feel like it's we're less trying. There can be a more with Pisces sometimes. This personality in the Pisces sun compared to other sun signs that are less about trying to control everything and having control. And there's more of a willingness to kind of like step into that mystery and sort of figure out where is it going. And there's a way that it is very mutable and flexible. We can actually adapt. We're actually way stronger. We're actually way more resilient. We're actually way more even able to be independent, take care of ourselves, and then we typically get characterized. I think we're also being Jupiter Venus, we're very friendly, tend to be very open. We're not going to just necessarily like cut you down if we think you have some kind of say something. We tend to, there is an empathy, you can kind of take in where somebody else is coming from. And then I think because we have that personality, people don't always see the strength and kind of the determination that Pisces can have. But I think a lot of it comes into like really trying to feel into the mystery of what's going on and what's taking shape. And a big thing for Pisces suns, I think, is learning how to actually, you know, step in and take more command and authority and be like, you know, this is my dream and I'm going to step in and actually make this happen. I think there's also a lot of sensitivity, and you see a lot of other sun signs, and, you know, because we think about the sun, it is also the king or the ruler or the power structure, and it can represent that kind of thing. And we see the misuse of power. That Dune movie, that character is like resisting the wanting to go down that path. And that's maybe not the best example for what to step into with your life, but in the sense of just stepping into your own power. But what I like about Dune also is there's that whole thematic sense of the dream and the prophecy, and what is real, you know, is this a real prophecy? Is this a real dream? And the blend of dream into life, and there's elements of that that's true, that all dreams aren't real though, but there is this blending of these different kind of realities and things that Pisces really are in touch with. And some Pisces are more able to, like, think, get a sense of that and how to operate in the world, and then start making a lot more things happening for themselves, and can be the kind of people that really blend these worlds. Some Pisces are much better at being like the great actor. I mean, actually, even that movie, even the guy playing the father is a Pisces. I'm spacing out his name right now.
Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac, thank you.
Yeah.
And then Timothy Chalamet is a Pisces moon and Saturn, right?
Mm-hmm.
But his son, but in the movie. But often though, like, those two could be great performers, great actors, you know, great singers, great performers, often have that Pisces where, you know, some like a Johnny Cash Pisces son, or a Kurt Cobain Pisces son, or
Leonard Cohen as well.
Pisces I think he's a Pisces moon.
Maybe he's a Pisces moon.
I think, yeah. But you're right, Pisces moon. Well, just the topic of Pisces, you know, there's like Prince and Pisces, Elvis, great Pisces moon performers out there as well. But with the Pisces sun, yeah, I mean, a lot of times I can really get, you see it show up, I think, the most in forms like the arts and writing and performing in that kind of way, where there can be this, I think those lend themselves a little bit more to that ability of Pisces to pick up all of this and this kind of, these different influences, and bringing them all together and blending these dreams and realities together into really kind of changing even like reality in some ways, really kind of bringing something in. But it's definitely like a lesson that I feel like Pisces sons often really need to learn. And I think working with the sun, even, you know, magically or in ritual, can really help with that. You know, it is a, you know, Pisces, if you think about it being this wet sign and cold and a night sign, it's not like lending itself to that solar nature, but, you know, there's many great gifts that can come out there if people can really step into it more.
For video viewers and audio viewers as well, I'm just pulling up Leonard Cohen's chart. He's Virgo sun, actually, with the sun on the ascendant, and he is a Pisces moon with the lot of fortune moon closely conjunct his Pisces moon. He is a Virgo sun, but the Pisces moon definitely comes in as well, which you can, I feel like, hear very clearly in his music.
Totally.
Yeah, I think the thing that stands out for me in your kind of explanation of Pisces, or that comes to mind, is, you know, like, the ocean is a big place. And if we think about the sun as mind, the benefit of the Pisces sun can be a larger aperture, a greater perspective to see the currents and how they interact, you know, which I think speaks to Pisces sun, as you describe it, their ability to have compassion and be understanding. But I like that you focus on, you know, the actions that the Pisces sun maybe can take to focus the perspective, like focus the heat of the mind on a particular place, so that those goals can be activated or effectuated or what have you. So I really appreciate that. And yeah, I just want to shout out Astrology Podcast, because I was listening to it today for the March forecast, and they were talking about how Dune is having its second Saturn return right now. And they were talking about Saturn in Pisces as this placement that's associated with world building, especially as it relates to fantasy. And I think Dune is such an interesting thing. There's definitely, you know, which you kind of see in the first film, there's an interesting kind of like Orientalism at play almost, because the world that's the world that's being created is this kind of desert society. And so, you know, I'm reminded of this course I took in college, where we talked about this Japanese text in cross-cultural philosophy, where the word for climate in Japanese is the same as culture. And so there's something about climate that influences the way people interact and formulate society. And so much about Dune is about climate change and the kind of worship and veneration of water because of its scarcity. And there's an interesting thing with the association of like the worms with like the Leviathan and the worms interact. I forget exactly like the science that that Herbert creates, but they have to, the worms grow because of their like repellents from water in some way. So there's a really interesting thing. And not to, you know, spoiler alert to anybody who hasn't read the series, I stopped after the third book, I think, which is called the third or fourth, stopped after God Emperor. And in that one, one of the characters basically becomes a god and has this ability to see thousands of years into the future and basically change their actions as a result of that, which I feel like is an interesting, you know, you're saying something about Pisces and long-term planning and being able to see down the road. And I think about intuition and the ability to kind of, the ability for forethought, you know, especially as you relate it to the sun and nous and the divinatory element. And there's something about how time relates to that that I think is kind of important to emphasize.
Yeah, Pisces can pick up. And you know, we can, Pisces are interesting because we can seem, you know, even within the same sentence of talking to one of us, I'm sure to people, we can seem really self-absorbed and then completely selfless. Almost simultaneously, we can move between these, like, and I mean, that ability to be like, oh yeah, I can like see way down the future, sounds like the kind of like more self-absorbed, narcissistic Piscean personality. But there actually is, there is something where, you know, I mean, probably all signs can do that to a certain extent. It's not unique to Pisces, but there is some weird way where we do get these premonitions of things and we pick up these things. I think as we're just, there's something about that mutable water and that nature, almost like the two fish going in these different directions, but one is definitely kind of going up to the pole, whereas the other one's, you know, coming down along, it's kind of said to be heading west. But I don't know, I think about that way of that celestial knot, and even when we think about Jupiter and Venus, and they are these, you know, you mentioned how they are considered the benefics, they very both are about life and fertility, but also in a lot of ways, fellowship and relationship and alliances. And there's a way where Pisces is always trying to hold these contradictory tensions. And there is a thing though within that somehow, the way however that works, we definitely do pick up on these premonitions of things. It's definitely not always ends up being accurate, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think where the Pisces can sometimes struggle is, I think there can be, I know we seem kind of self-destructive and self-sabotagers. I know a lot of people, and there is just something. There's something where the Pisces, for whatever reason, I feel like can really struggle to just like, whereas other people get these like big plans together and like they're strategizing everything and there's this whole plan for, maybe it's just because Pisces kind of knows things are so chaotic and things can all fall apart and what's, you know, who knows what's going to be happening 2 years ago? Why would I have like a 5-year plan when I don't know what the world's going to even be like by then? I think Pisces is fed more from like this deep dream. It's like they have this deep inner sense of a dream or passion or something that really brings them alive. And they can, and we can actually give everything to that. We can be completely devoted to that. And it has much more to do with this devotion and this sense, this like sort of like yearning, and it is something calling off for the future. And we can really get this like wide open sense of like where we might go with our path forward. But that's, it's a different quality than like, say, like a Scorpio that we'll just have, they'll be taking everything. And then, you know, I love Scorpios. I'm always just like, wow, it's amazing. Like, you just got this whole plan, you know, and it's serious. And it's like, this is going on, you know, and cause I'll be like, oh yeah, I get that. But like, I wouldn't just have it all like locked in on this plan like that. There's something about Pisces that's less about that. It's almost like not you, it can be less about these like detailed steps to take. I think those kind of things can be helpful for Pisces to, you know, maybe get more organized and structured. I feel like it tends to be more about just having this like big, deep dream that you're really devoted to. And that's really like the driving force.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Totally.
Less than about like having everything planned out. I'm just going to lock down this plan and everything is going to go according to my plan. Even if there is a plan, it can change very quickly. And I think that is actually a strength of the Pisces sun. It can change. We can adapt. Something starts going wrong where we're actually can be less thrown off and be like, okay, I'm ready to encounter this. It's almost like how our reality is shifting and being aware of where things might go and holding all that and then being able to move with where it's kind of going in the moment. But it can behoove us to actually get more, you know, planning to be ahead of the curve, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like we often are just sort of like into the moment of what we're experiencing. Then, yeah. And then we can definitely come off that way to other people. Like, come on, get yourself together to do something. You know, I'm definitely only describing one side of Pisces. I'm realizing as I'm talking that I'm kind of going in on this one side of it, whether all sorts of sides to Pisces, and it's definitely going to show up differently and different with different people. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, and definitely some people with their chart and stuff, they're going to be a lot more decisive and that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think Pisces, in the end, we are decisive. It's just, I know for myself, sometimes I just take longer than I would like to really think about something. And if I'm given that space to think about it, I really will take it. Mm-hmm. And I will think about that and spend a lot of time thinking about things from all these different sides and playing out all these different scenarios of what might happen. If we have to decide something quick, we can, and I can, but when I'm given space to, there is something about really wanting to just take in all the different options. And I know in my chart, I'm very happy that I have a Venus in Aries, for example, because having some Aries and a Venus in Aries definitely helps me with like having more of that fire and, you know, that kind of thing to take action and make stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what you were describing about Pisces definitely reminds me of the quote from Dune that you mentioned about not being able to understand the process by stopping it, having to like flow with the process to understand the process. And there's something I feel like that you're speaking to with that. I also just want to say, I think in these Saturn and Pisces times, Dune is a really interesting cultural artifact, because the thing I associate most with Dune that my dad said to me a lot as a kid is this quote, you know, just fear is the mind killer. And there's a whole, I think they call like the litany against fear or something like that in the book, which is this kind of Bene Gesserit like recitation. And I'm reminded of the part in the first movie where he has to like interact with the Gom Jabbar, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, which is this box. And the Holy Mother or whatever is basically just like, if you take your hand out of the box, if you succumb to fear, you will die. But ultimately, and he's experiencing this excruciating pain, but ultimately there's just like nothing there to fear but fear itself, kind of. And that I feel like that speaks a little bit to Saturn and Pisces in general, and maybe perhaps what you were talking about the world, you know, because I was just thinking about like what Pisces or what Saturn signifies as it goes through these signs. And Saturn in Pisces is kind of like the dissolution of structure, where structure getting this kind of funky element. And so there is something to what you're saying about like people can judge Pisces as being living in their own worlds or what have you. But the benefit of the sun in Pisces is like acknowledging that everything is kind of a construct, that everything is a little fantasy that we're living in.
Yeah, we're totally in. Yeah, definitely. Not to be all like Gnostic about it or anything, but we really are. I mean, you don't necessarily have to look at everything from that kind of a philosophy. You can, but you don't have to. But yeah, we definitely are in all sorts of illusions, and people are all operate. Everyone's in this illusion. And Pisces is interesting. Then I think, yeah, exactly like you're saying, we get characterized as being the ones that are really out there and really in this illusion. Whereas oftentimes the way, you know, people are operating from these very illusionary mental constructs while in the process of making that judgment call, you know, about the Pisces individual, definitely. It is a really big point about the idea of fear is the mind killer. And certainly with Saturn and Pisces, you know, you brought up climate change and water issues, you know, Saturn and Pisces, that transit is bringing up all sorts of, you know, massive concerns that we have about water issues. We have these, you know, horrific violence, and like, I mean, it's just it is legitimately frightening about different things going on in the world right now, you know, with like Israel and Gaza, for example, and the Ukraine, as well as many other places. Those are two of the, you know, biggest news stories going on at the moment as we're talking, that gets the most media attention, all these water issues. And there, yeah, I mean, one of the biggest problems about fear is, you know, that can prevent you from feeling like you can go after your dreams or kind of shape the world in the way that you really value, and that there's even a chance that there's even, why have any hope for that? You know, you can become full of fear, full of cynicism about the world. Pisces have to definitely struggle with that, because we can have this great faith and great hope and in some ways naivete at times, but you know, most Pisces, we've been heartbroken over and over again and disappointed over and over again by people. I think there's something that's amazing, I think, about Pisces with it must be the watery and the Jupiter and Venus somehow, that I just feel like no matter what we go through, and we can become cynical ourselves. It's that hope within the Pisces, and that ability to have faith in the unknown and ultimately be sort of resilient. There's actually this great courage and strength that Pisces can have. And it might be because of just taking in all the suffering so much and just feeling it so much and being let down so much. But then always just like almost like that sun going through the night, the sun's always going to rise, and we somehow always are able to still have this, like, oftentimes just connect back into being, well, there's still, you know, something we can do. There's something I can create, even if it's, there's something I can do for somebody else. There's, you know, there's, and it's definitely a big lesson with the Saturn and Pisces right now that we're going through. but it's something to, I think Pisces don't always get enough credit. I think sometimes for, I think there's a real strength and a real strength to Pisces that I think a lot of people just aren't aware of, but I definitely really respect that kind of quality. You can be not be a Pisces and have that kind of quality too. I just really respect it when I see it. I guess it's something about just, you know, what can be found about love and Eros and beauty in the world and with all the death and suffering at the same time. And it's like, you're taking all that in, you're aware of it, and you just keep going. I mean, it's what we're here. There's something that's like the mystery, right? Mm-hmm. Of why we're here. And there's something about that Pisces can actually end up being pretty resilient in that way. I think.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you, Gray. I'm curious to hear more about the house placement of Pisces for you and how that impacts the experience of your sun, especially with your sun very closely intermixing with Jupiter, your MC there, Mercury there. So I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. Well, for me, I'm born fairly close to noon. The sun is not at the midheaven, but it's rising up towards the midheaven. So it's a late Pisces sun, about 27, 28 degrees. And it's my midheaven's like 3 degrees of Pisces where my Mercury is. So, and then being Gemini rising with my Mercury, my moon and rising being Gemini, and then my Mercury being on my midheaven, there's definitely with me, I guess, also a very strong Gemini component to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
As a Pisimini in a way, that it's not just a Pisces, this is my 10th house. I'm a moon K2, moon south node in tropical Gemini. And so, with that side of it, I mean, one of the things that definitely has come in with me and that Pisces 10th house has been always writing. And, like even in college, you know, I got really involved in my college newspaper and was writing for it and did some editing and had a radio show for a little bit playing like music and was in some bands and, was focused on doing, I was a psychology major. And so there was a lot of just, fascination with psychology, which does have an overlap to me with astrology, that I was just very, interested in. And then, you know, my first kind of career direction was more focused on teaching, which I think has a lot to do with the Gemini and then at Mercury again being up there. But with the Jupiter and the Sun combined, that also goes very much with teaching. And you know, one thing I guess how that connects, I guess, with Pisces in a way is, there's definitely also with the water and the mutability and that Jupiter rulership, there is that taking in, you know, this larger, the larger meaning of things. And having my Mercury and Pisces with, you know, the sun and Jupiter in the same sign. I mean, in some ways it's one of the better, I guess, versions of Mercury and Pisces you can have, in that way. But you know, there is a way with that kind of combination, I feel like, to, and I guess that's probably kind of the Gemini though coming in too with me is being able to kind of break things down and synthesize things together as part of like teaching something or writing about something. But with me, and I think most people that have a big Pisces thing, there's a lot of things about, you know, that bigger meaning and that bigger vision and wanting to get that across to people. I guess one thing though about that, even though I went into teaching direction, I guess one thing that does relate to that is that you see a lot with Pisces, and we were talking about the movie earlier, is I did have a period of time when I was younger of being interested in being a filmmaker. And I wrote some screenplays, made like a 16 millimeter film. I got into a films like a master's in fine arts film program in the Los Angeles area and considered going there at a point, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really away, got away from doing film and as well as writing anything creatively like that and on that kind of scope. But I've always been curious, you know, if that ever comes back in, and some point when I get more time, I might move more into doing some, trying to get back into doing like videos or something that might maybe at least relates to astrology in some way. But that's been in there too in the past with me. That, and that's again very typical for Pisces, to want to do something with some kind of storytelling, big picture, you know, tying, you know, something like a film or a story. You can really bring a lot of things in together with that and teaching it. But then, you know, I guess also classic kind of Pisces things is I've had careers. I did social work for a long time. I've had different things at points, working with some homeless populations, teaching. I mean, probably my favorite teaching job I ever had was teaching and advising at a community college in Tacoma for a program for students that had basically dropped out of high school and sort of like running start. But the difference was they didn't have to test into anything. They could just have no credits and just come to our community college for free. And as long as they could get in there and like pass classes, they could earn, get back and earn their, get their high school diploma, but also be earning college credits at the same time. And I taught like the sort of entry class to get them like hopefully helping them to step up into doing that. But and even, yeah, I just often would find in different, even before I became a social worker, even in my teaching jobs, which is typical for teachers, we all do this. You tend to end up wanting, you tend to get involved with students that are homeless or struggling in some kind of way, and that just kind of comes into it. But I got some, when you were asking about Pisces in 10th house, that was always just something that would just kind of like keep coming up. And, you know, you even without being trained as a counselor, you kind of get put into that role in a way. And like there's something very Piscean about that. You often see that with Pisces people, if they're not involved in the arts or creativity, there's often some sort of social focus about whatever their version of, you know, that might be, that they're maybe trying to, what they're perceiving would be helpful to be doing, you know, they might be focused on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's very interesting in your chart in particular, because your sun rules your third house and you have a lot of fortune in Leo in the third house. And so a lot of fortune can be like a secondary indicator of acquiring, you know, resources or wealth or what have you. And the third house is typically associated with early education. You know, I don't know how young the kids are. It sounds like they're like high school age. They're on this cusp of, you know, childhood and adulthood.
Community college, I think, is like, is not a bad, I mean, I know we would do ninth house for higher education, and I don't think community college really necessarily gets put in to the third house, but in a way, it's very community, local community, the place people can afford to go. That was actually for free, so it wasn't even like people are having to pay. But even before that, in the Olympia area where I live, I taught at another community college and did developmental education, what's called developmental education for people that test below, like English 101. So I taught like reading classes and writing classes, and there can be different levels of that people have to work up to to get to 101, and my goal when that was usually to get people really good so they could go into 101 and just kind of really nail it. Mm-hmm. They were forced to kind of take our classes because they didn't test at that level. So I would just try to really boost their ability to write papers and that writing level and some reading strategies too. But I think there's a bit of a third house thing there. I've always thought too with writing and the way it became known as an astrologer was primarily just by like having a blog and mm-hmm. writing an astrology blog. And I just like kind of kept that up for a while and started speaking locally, and that kind of helped get me into like getting bigger speaking opportunities and that kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
It's been actually really cool teaching at Kepler College right now. I've actually been enjoying that because it's not exactly like teaching at a community college, but it's they've got a bit of a college structure to the program, and some people in the class are actually trying to earn credits for a certificate at Kepler College. Some people are just really taking the class and not necessarily doing all the graded work that you have to do if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's been actually really cool to do that. I've really enjoyed that just because I have that background, and I've liked having that opportunity to kind of bring them together and have a class again in that kind of way, more formal setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. Are there other aspects that the sun makes that you think would be important to talk about?
Oh, in my chart?
Yeah.
I think the main thing for me is really the sun, the sun with Jupiter. And, obviously it's a combust Jupiter that's right in there with the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Although at least Jupiter it's about to walk out the door of Pisces, but it's still, at least in there in its own sign barely.
How do you look at a planet in its chariot, a planet combust, but in a place where it has dignity?
I mean, I think for me, it is a thing, and I think it does help. I also know that, I am somebody that can be very inwardly oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also just my personality was excessively shy growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a very shy, introverted person with a Jupiter like that, it's a really deep, inward focus and internality in that kind of a way is definitely something that would play out with me. And, I could have a lot of a really active fantasy life, at times more so than really stepping into making that fantasy a reality, so to speak. And that's something that I've gotten way better at over time and I'm doing a lot more now. And actually it occurs to me something that relates to this that I think I didn't mention. Later this year, I was actually along with another astrologer, Jason Hawley, we're going to be leading like a tour of going to Greece and going to all these like sacred sites in Greece and
amazing.
Leading a whole group of people through there. I've never done anything like that before. But I'm really, really super excited about that. And something like that, actually Jason is, he's not a Pisces, but he's like a Pisces midheaven also.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is such a dream, Pisces thing to do for somebody like with my chart. Like that is literally for me, like an example of a dream come true. Like Dimitri George used to always run these tours and I always wanted to go. It was always couldn't really afford it being a single father and not, just going off and doing something like that. Back when I first met Jason back in 2011, he had just at a conference and we became friends. He had just been on the tour with Dimitra and I just come back from one with her and Brian Clark. But I never was able to go. And I know there's people out there that wanted to go on that with us that couldn't afford it or whatever. But I was always in that position myself. But and even working with Dimitra a few years ago, she had this sort of vision of me where she saw me leading a tour to Greece and started telling me that I was going to do this and she was going to help, and she'd help me with it. And I would see her again and she would always bring it up to me. And I was always like, I would love to do that, you know, but I don't know how that's going to happen.
Right.
But that's there's something about that, which I think is just great, which is, because it's very much about, you know, taking people and being with people to have this very, just being in the field and the actual land of the myth and so talking about the myth and helping people orient, but actually, you know, being in the actual place and having that full on experience. And and also even the idea of like traveling and movement. I think there's something about Pisces, you know, maybe all Pisces aren't like this, but like a lot of us are, where we love being on like a road trip. That being in motion and change, we can just move with it. We can really get into that. Other people might have a trouble with it. I guess maybe anybody that's really mutable can do that in some to a certain extent.
I relate as a Sag for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Sag and Pisces are great company for something like that. I think that's where our Jupiter mutables really can come together. I think for Pisces, there's something very like immersive about it. And I'm really excited about that opportunity because it's sort of like helping to try to hopefully open up a certain like field or dimensionality of reality with the landscapes and the spirits and the gods and these sacred sites. And hopefully to help kind of hold that space for people to really kind of enter into and have their experience and kind of help whoever needs help orienting or getting through it, you know, that kind of thing. Like it actually is a good fit for my chart. I think my partner is actually also, her dad is born in Greece and she's never been, she's Greek actually, but hasn't been. And so the whole ancestral connection she's going to have is going to be huge. And I'm really excited about, but I'm hoping it could be like an opening of a new kind of direction. I don't know where, that's kind of a very much of an unknown for me.
Yeah.
But it's like it's another side of astrology and what I do with my work that could be like opening up this year. That'll be something I do again, you know, kind of thing. And there's a lot of excitement I have about that. It's a good example of sort of, I guess what I was trying to talk about earlier, where like, yeah, that's the thing I had like this dream of that, like, that'd be amazing. But I never got this whole plan. Like, I'm going to figure out how am I going to lead a sacred tour to Greece in a couple of years and take all the steps I need to do to make this happen. But just like having that in my, as a thing I would like to do, it's like I just ended up in the right place at the right time with, I'm doing it now. So like it's, I don't know, there's something a bit Piscean about that, I think.
Yeah, like Jupiterian. Jupiterian, yeah. And like hope things into existence somehow without having to make, you know, sometimes needing to make, you know, kind of detailed plans. But a lot of the time, just, you know, again, as we talked about, like kind of building the wings on the way down, in a sense, where you just kind of, you know, figure it out as you go. And there's really Jupiterian element of like the enjoyment and the beauty of just having the new interesting experience and seeing what meaning and what learning will come from it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's very exciting. I'm happy for you and looking forward to hearing about what comes of that or seeing what comes of that for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It really will be. Very excited about it.
Yeah, so people should definitely keep an eye out for that. But I'm curious, what suggestions you have for people, maybe in their day-to-day life, who might be new to astrology or new to planetary relationship and forming or initiating a relationship with the sun?
Well, I mean, I would really recommend creating some sort of space for yourself. Ultimately, if you can get like a sun altar going, would be, I think, the ultimate thing. like a kind of container like that. But if nothing else, just getting a practice of being with the sun when the sun's rising as much as possible, just experiencing sunrise. I mean, the classic, you know, experience sunrise, experience the sun culminating, really also the experiencing the sun setting in the night. And with magic, you know, some of the Greek magical papyri texts, I mean, there's very, even with, there's some, even actually we brought the Agathos Daimon earlier, there's some with Agathos Daimon where you're reading this invocation and you're doing that at sunrise, at the sun culminating, at the sun setting. But as far as if you can also create some sort of altar, I mean, classically, you know, any kind of golden, yellow, orange kind of solar color, just adorning it in some way. I really love rosemary with the sun personally. Maybe there's a rosemary bush in your vicinity. You can flip some rosemary, get some rosemary oil, some rosemary tea. I don't like it. Just go on all that with that, or like ginger, like lemons. You know, there's certain solar other things you could do too to kind of to bring on it. You know, there is a lot of people like to use Orphic hymns or other kind of planetary prayers, but I think the Orphic hymn to Helios is actually is a really good one. And there is, you know, the classically, you know, Sunday at sun hour is of course the classic like day of sun, hour of sun. And you could be, if you track planetary hours, you could be trying to hit like the sun hour on every day. But I think that experience of the sunrise, like I mentioned, and hitting those big solar points is big. And I think one of the things about it, you know, you could try wearing solar colors. But imaginally, it really, especially being, if you're a Pisces sun, it really is that, you know, taking in, you know, opening yourself up to that light of the sun. And I know for somebody like me that is actually very watery, I do have some fire in my chart. There's doing that is actually very much of a remediation. I feel like it's also, you know, I live in the Pacific Northwest, which is such a cold and wet place, and been really, really loving it recently. Actually went to Tucson not too long ago, and that was amazing just to get to actually be out in the desert and get that sun. But sort of that experience of like, if you go to the desert and get that sun, and you don't normally live in a place like that, it's like almost like imaginarily you're kind of doing that. You're kind of filling yourself with the light of the sun and really sensing that. And as part of whatever sort of offering you're doing. And I think that kind of, I think working with the sun is, it's really one of my favorite things to do with astrological magic. And I feel like pretty early on became one of the first kind of things I really started focusing on. And I know for me, it definitely also helped with me getting more kind of agency and like putting myself out there. And to do more speaking and teaching and put myself out there more with my work and that sort of thing in the astrology world.
Yeah, the sun is associated with sovereignty and also visibility, obviously. Yeah, so
and visibility, totally.
Makes a lot of sense.
So yeah, it can really help you with sort of like being more comfortable, I think, in that sort of sovereign, visible way, just like what is like your nature in the world and being more open to being seen in that way. I mean, when you're asking about my Jupiter being combust like that, I mean, I think that's probably part of it for me. I mean, I could think of that interpretation at least. You know, it also goes with growing up very shy, but there is usually a lot about myself. I don't think a lot of Pisces are like this, though, where I just kind of keep it invisible and not let people kind of know about it. And so for me, there's a big been a big lesson in letting myself be more visible and sharing more of myself in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely can relate to that. It's definitely can be challenging, you know, for the you know, the details of my chart make it difficult as well. So I definitely relate. All right, Gray, is there anything else you want to add? Do you have any imparting thoughts about the sun before we go?
Let's see what else that we haven't covered. I mean, not really. I think we've done a pretty good job of covering it. Yeah. Wonderful. There's always way more just that I could say, but yeah, that's, of course. I think that's good for now.
Yeah. All right, Gray, where can we find you? And is there anything that you're working on that you want to share with us or just reiterate things?
Yeah, well, I, my website is graycrawford.net. And so you can go there and, you know, I guess most directly, if you want to work with me, I do have natal consultations. I have one on focusing more on fixed stars, either by paran or degree, zodiacal releasing, which I've been spending a lot of time on teaching and putting that course together. And
mm-hmm.
if anyone's ever interested in going through that, it's definitely something I've gotten way more into even than I was before in this past period of time with how I'm working with that. Secondary progressions, actually, too. I have a lot of focus on that. But otherwise, I'm going to actually teach a course on secondary progressions for this school in China soon, but nobody could access that. So the main the next big thing is at NORAC, if anyone out there is wanting to go. I think NORAC might be sold out in person, or they might have a few left. I do know the virtual is still open for sure. So there is a really good lineup at NORAC. I'll be doing two talks at NORAC. One is on secondary progressions and one is on Saturn and Neptune.
Cool.
More Saturn, Neptune relating to your natal chart, but also talking about the cycle and the meaning of it. Yeah.
Cool. I'm looking forward to that because I have those planets conjunct in my natal chart. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You're like Capricorn.
Yeah. That like subgeneration. All right. Wonderful. Well, I'm excited for that. And I just want to say thank you again, Gray, for coming on and talking to me about Pisces and your sun and your chart. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thank you.
To support the show by donating or becoming a member, please visit my website, which is linked in the show notes. And please subscribe to the show wherever you listen. You can also find me on Instagram and Twitter. See those links in the show notes as well. If you have any questions or feedback on the show, please feel free to contact me via my website or email me at sblhorary@gmail.com. In the show notes, you can also find links to astrologers and resources that we touched on in this episode. Thanks for listening to the show. I'll see you next time.